cliffcentral.com. Fashion Lab on cliffcentral.com.
Greetings and welcome to the Fashion Lab show. My name is Lizo Gumba Regisford, your host, and thank you for tuning in again to this show. This is the show where we dissect the business behind fashion. We care about development. We care about just being able to elevate ourselves as an industry. We are talking $3 trillion industry today, and Africa has what? I don't want to talk about that. I want to focus on our topic today. We're going to be talking manufacturing and especially focusing on the clothing and textile industry. We're joined by very special guests, and our lines are open. We are on Twitter at Fashion Lab AF. We are on Facebook at Fashion Lab Africa, and we're on Instagram at Fashion Lab Africa. So feel free to share your thoughts as we continue. Now, before I introduce our special guests today, we are joined by Morag Stein, who is our internationally accredited beauty consultant and makeup artist, who will be glamming up the show with Glam Up for a dose of makeup and some beauty tips. We're also joined by our New York contributor, Edgy Benson, with his echoes from New York. Edgy runs NU New York, which is a fashion services company based in New York, sourcing services to fashion designers and fashion houses. He's been in this game for a long time, and we love to also just pick his mind. Now, a quick reminder for those of you who are tuned in for the first time, I've got my favorite segment at the end of this show. It's called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So think about who you want to dress and why, so we can have some fun. I call it our red glass of wine at the end of this session. Now, keep your tweets coming, and also allow me to just go straight into the matters at hand to introduce and welcome our special guest today. Now, I've got two guests, and one of them is a house name you will know, and then obviously one of them is another guest. So anyway, these guests are definitely playing within the manufacturing space. We're joined by a partner of the only South African company that boasts local manufacturing, warehousing, design, and branding within the industry. These guys are heavily invested in the sustainable development of manufacturing in South Africa and definitely contribute directly to the local economy. As a result of their success, they are the lead participants in DTI's Production Incentive Initiative, which is PII. And here we go. So allow me to welcome and introduce partner at CNR Brand Solutions, Sean Eason.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, did I say that right?
Yes, you got it right, 100%.
Okay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the time. Welcome to your listeners as well.
Thank you very much. Now, before we go on, we normally have this thing. I have to ask you, who are you wearing and what's inspiring the look?
Who are we wearing?
Oh, what are you wearing?
Okay.
And what's inspiring the look?
I'm wearing my Woolworths jeans with my Woolworths top.
That's what I'm And what's inspiring this look today?
It's casual. It's comfortable. In the environment that we work, we want casual and comfortable, because people are spending a lot of time at their workplace, better part of 8 hours a day, sitting in an environment that must be comfortable for them.
It's very nice. So thank you very much for joining us. I was here last week, and I got the privilege of getting a nice, beautiful tour in here, and I literally almost fell over. I came in with a friend, and we literally sat and almost fell over, because from one step to the next block, it just never ended. And one of the things I admire about what you guys are doing definitely is, number one, I didn't know about you guys until I came here, and until my friend Nadima dragged me here. And then the second thing is, after she dragged me here, I didn't want to leave. But the truth is, because of the fact that a few people, and things are flying in the air. People feel like generally the African fashion, the African industry when it comes to manufacturing is dying. And the truth is, I don't know. I've heard from people who are here. I don't know. I wasn't here 20 years ago, but I've heard that this was a very thriving industry when it came to clothing and textile manufacturing. And as the years go by, I don't know what's happening, because obviously as a designer, I know that I struggle with production, and I know a lot of other designers struggle with production, meaning we do not have enough production facilities to cover up or to work with us, so that we are not late and we are not missing deadlines into stores and all of that stuff. So first of all, I just want you to give us a bit of a quick background about CNR, what you guys are doing here. And I just love that everything under one roof. I think that's very good for business.
Liz, specifically, our company, CNR Brands, plays within the corporate environment. So we're not manufacturing for the retailers, a slightly different industry there, but we all utilize the same backbone and functionality within the country. What we found within the corporate market is that the more and more South African large corporates are looking to localize what they do. So they're asking for local products first, wherever possible, and only the items that cannot be manufactured locally are then sourced externally from outside of the country.
But can I just come in there? What, on a percentage, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say you have to outsource? Because it seems like you guys have really, your app technology-wise, you've got great machines, you've got that competitive edge from a global perspective.
So what we've done is we've structured ourselves to have a one-stop shop, a one solution. So we have backward integrated right the way down to the fabric level. So we're able to manufacture the knitted fabrics ourselves in our own mill. We then outsource the dyeing of those fabrics to a local dye house. So we've got two or three local dye houses that will dye that up for us. On receipt of that fabric back again, we localize it again, where we then cut it, make it, trim it, and complete a garment for the end user. We've also found that the end user's reaction time over a retail reaction time is a lot shorter. So when we're talking about a corporate reaction time, we're talking about 1 to 2 weeks. So we have to control the processes.
Wow.
Whereas, yeah, whereas retail tends to plan seasons ahead of themselves.
Yes, true.
So they're planning, going into one season, already planning the next season. We don't have the luxury of that within the corporate environment. Corporate environment tends to react very, very quickly, and we have to be able to react very, very quickly, which means that we have to invest into our supply chain in order to meet their expectations.
So now tell me, Sean, what would you say capacity-wise, just an idea of like what sort of capacity you guys are handling when it comes to your production here?
On local manufacturing, just on the clothing and the bag side, because we manufacture luggage as well as the clothing side of it, we must probably do about 55 million rand a year. Is what we would do out of this.
Wow. Now, from a product perspective, if you tell me, are there similar months, or is every month a different month? Really,
it's very, very different, because once again, we're playing in the corporate space. So corporates tend to have a budget, and they don't tend to budget as seasonally as a retail chain would budget. So a corporate might be looking for an item with their branding on it. It might be a clock, it might be a bag, or it might be a garment. Obviously, we will try and put them into something South African first, which would be garments and bags. And then outside of that, if it was something for the desk, those are the type of items that would be imported.
Let's talk about the equipment and the machinery. Because, you know, another thing I know is for sure is you still have factories. There are a lot of factories around Africa,
yes.
I'm sure. And one of the things I also feel is, I feel like for my experience as a brand, who's constantly in the factories trying to get my stuff done, I wonder if people are upgrading when it comes to technology and just kind of trying to really keep up with what's happening, because I've gone around your setup here and you guys seem to be really on that other level. What are you doing? Do you guys do your research and also just kind of make sure that you understand and keep up with what's happening from a global perspective to be able to also keep up with demands? Because obviously, every time you get an order, I'm sure that, you know, as much as it's corporate, it's clothing at the end of the day. And I'm sure that people will say, I want this and I want that. But because of globalization that has made everything so borderless and everybody want what everybody wants, you will also have to keep up when it comes to your machinery and your equipment and your technology.
That's it. We've invested a lot of money in technology, almost 6 million rand just in technology. The DTI and IDC have assisted us with that. They have programs in place that are designed specifically around production incentives and competitiveness improvement. So they, as the DTI, saw the fact that the local industry would have to close a very big gap very quickly. So they have specific programs in place for clothing and textiles companies, footwear, leather companies, that will help bridge that gap and close that gap a lot quicker.
And now, how often do you look? Do you say that every end of year or twice a year? How often do you kind of see and understand where the market is to be able to keep up?
Well, we would benchmark, we benchmark ourselves against the retail industry. So, because it's very difficult in the corporate industry, but against the retail industry. So we look at our machinery in relation to what's available elsewhere in the world. And we believe that we've been able to put some of the best machinery available on the ground and tie it into our specific needs. So we look at competitiveness, we take it seriously because that's the only thing that gives us the edge. DTI and government has designated the clothing, textiles, footwear, leather industry, which means that all parastatals have to procure locally.
Now,
so that is what's possibly creating the problem on your side when it comes to capacity. Because over the years...
that's why we can't find anyone to do our work.
It's over the years that the industry was being seen as a sunset industry. And then a lot of money and energy and time and effort has been pumped into the industry as such to turn that perception around. And we've got buy-in from labor, from organized labor, from manufacturers, from government. And that's what's making the industry grow.
Now, tell
everybody's
me,
participating.
Yeah. So tell me something. Are you guys also able to get work? Is Africa as a continent aware of what, I mean, obviously every day is a new day to discover a new supplier or a new opportunity. Have you guys reached out to the continent? Does the continent know, even if you still strictly focus on corporate, do you have a lot of other brands or businesses or companies and organizations across the continent that also give you work?
We specifically at CNR Brands don't network like that. We concentrate on our local market as being our key market because that is massive for what we're able to produce capacity-wise. But we also supply large multinationals that have a global footprint and they have an African footprint. So we supply from Johannesburg side and from South Africa's side up into the Ghanas, the Rwandas, the DRCs, Cameroon. Our business partner, Sandy Ehrenreich, ex-Sandy and Gemma, she's set up an office now in Cameroon. So we'll be putting a base up in Cameroon and then from Cameroon growing the business through to corporates from using Cameroon as the base.
Very nice.
So that's where we're going up. We're going north. Specifically us, we're not interested in going the Europe side or that's not where we want to play. We want to play north.
And it's also very important for me as an Africanist and as an African entrepreneur, I know for sure that there is a big gap in the market. And it's good to see organizations like yours that say, you know what, we are still we haven't finished. I mean, you can't just jump from here and go to Europe and leave Africa hanging because Africa is still looking at...
Yes.
So when you look at the setup and the way that things are set up from a production and manufacturing perspective in the continent, you do have a few little plants all spread out across, but it's not... I think South Africa has the biggest and the best systems when it comes to manufacturing the continent. And that is why I have people calling me every day. Hi, I need help. Can you do my production? Can you do this? And I'm like, I'm trying to help myself until further notice, I'm still trying to help myself. So I feel like there is a gap in the market. I feel like for Africa to be able to move ahead, we definitely have to pay attention when it comes to what is it that's our offering and have we really like spread our wings and actually, you know, spread and really get the business from all of these people who are screaming help, help before we move and expand further out of the continent. So I think for me, I just want to commend you guys on at least still keeping it locked and trying to expand and trying to also reach out to the rest of the continent because there is a big, big gap, big.
As you know, your manufacturing skills, traditionally, a lot of the floor managers, at an operational level moved into other industries. Now to get them back, to balance a floor is extremely difficult. You know, when you're talking about balancing a production line or balancing a floor, there's no varsity course that can teach you that. We sit in the office and as you can hear my factory in the background, I can hear what's on my lines. And that takes time and it takes experience. And a lot of that experience was lost. So now we're rebuilding that experience. When you look at our machinists, the traditional machinists didn't have to read, didn't have to write, just had to be able to stitch two pieces of fabric together and that was the job. With the machines that we're landing now, you have to have an understanding of how to operate the machinery, you have to be able to set stitch lengths, timing. So it's evolving.
So it's much more advanced now.
Much more
advanced. You can't just wake up from the corner.
No.
And it's
difficult to get people to fill the chairs because nobody aspires to being a machinist. There's nothing.
No one went to school for machinists. To handle the new machines at CNR.
Yes, but when you're talking production management, that's a different ballgame. They are like hen's teeth. You cannot get good production managers, somebody who can balance a line and balance a floor and get your production out. That's the goal, is to get to there. Because your understanding of that will lead into the fashion industry. We've got to be moving. That's where we're training the most, is trying to get the people on the floor to understand that it's gone to the old days. You're not just mm-hmm. stitching one piece of fabric to another. It's evolved. The machinery's evolved. It's moving high tech now. So it's a different animal altogether.
You got to be smart. You got to be sharper. You got to be...
Yes, yeah.
It's not
the classic old days anymore. It really is. The industry itself has moved, taken a quantum leap forward on our side.
Wow. So Sean, tell me, where do you see the future of African fashion when it comes to manufacturing, clothing manufacturing specifically? And when I say fashion, whether it's corporate, it is still still falls under clothing and textile, is still fashion.
I see massive potential for companies to get on their feet and get going, to give it an to maximize opportunities, because there are lots of opportunities. We have a capacity problem. So there's an opportunity to put factories on the ground. There are programs within the DTR and the IDC that are specifically designed around creating manufacturing units. So we need to maximize that and get on board with some of those programs and grow these things. Talking specifically high fashion, you'd need to set up factories that are key for that are specific for your designer, shorter mm-hmm. runs, mm-hmm. faster turnarounds. Now there we have
more detail. I mean, I'm not knocking off detail. Has to be standard for everything. I'm just saying that you're so right when
very
you say
focused.
it's
very, very focused. So you'll set your factories up depending on what it is that you want to do. So if you're moving into high fashion, your factory would be high fashion. Your machinists would be multitasking machinists. They would be, in order for you to make it profitable, they would be have to, one machinist would have to operate multiple machines in order to get you that look and that feel that you want in the marketplace on the fashion side.
Wow.
So,
you know, Sean, it's
big opportunities.
Yes, no, it's big opportunities, but it's so exciting to see what you guys are doing. And I think, you know, congratulations on what you've been doing here for all these years, and I'm hoping that you can release some of the tailors so we can get some. Jeez, like, I'm starting to feel like I'm having a headache, you know? How many, what are we talking staff?
We are about 246 staff, and the network will go up to around about 680 odd machines.
So, guys.
it's a big industry. We've chosen a particular model. There are lots of models to choose from. I would recommend that when you sit down and build your factory, understand where it is you're going, fit for purpose, put your machinery on the ground, get the right operators on the ground, and stick to the vision. There's massive opportunities in manufacture. It's changing. Everything's changing. It's just don't be scared to get involved and literally pick up the needle and get going.
Wow. Guys, you've heard it all. We're holding it down here with Sean Isson, who's partner at CNR Brand Solutions, right here in Amalgam in Johannesburg. You know, it's like down the street, like 18 minutes. I put my GPS, 18 minutes. I'm like, yay, okay. So it's amazing. What you're doing is great. And for those of you who are tuned in, for those of you who are thinking, gosh, what do we do next? There is an industry, like he said, it's just a new day. So I think it's also about understanding and obeying evolution. When evolution happens, you can't be caught up in your corner, still using the same equipment and setting up the systems the way you had it 20 years ago, like we're talking. Sean, thank you so much for joining us. How can our listeners connect with you? Are you on social media? Do you have a website? Can we just maybe get
We've got a website.
Yes.
www.crbrands.co.za. You're welcome to post anything there. Contact us through there. Otherwise, the varsities also send a lot of their students through for them to see the whole picture. Because once you understand that we're in our game, we bend fabric. We cut and bend fabric. If you understand fabric, then you'll be able to design whatever you want, understanding the fabric part. So we welcome the groups through. If the varsities could put something through, they're welcome to take them on a tour. Give them a better feel for what raw production is all about.
Guys, we've been talking to Sean, and we can sit here and talk all day, but Sean, thank you for joining us. We're very proud of what you guys are doing and what you represent, and we hope that the continent can experience a piece of that pie.
Thank you for taking the time.
Fashion Lab on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, everyone, and hi, Edgy. Welcome to the show once again. Yeah, you're so nice listening to Sean. How are you?
So,
what are you wearing?
I'm good. I'm sure you've seen, I've already posted a picture, and I'm feeling quite top-knotted and floral today, if I can say the least. So it's Ooh. Just a really easy-going pastel floral jumpsuit that I just had a seamstress, whip up for me. And yeah, it's one of those things, you know, you can put a heel on and look fabulous, or you could just wear a sandal and be really casual. So yeah, just easy. Mm-hmm. And you, AG?
Today, I know, I thought, well, Liz is not in the studio.
Yes.
So I took it very easy.
Don't think I'm going to be lenient on you.
I thought you were going to be like easy on me. No, I'm just wearing it. It's very cold here.
Yes.
We just went through a snowstorm. So I'm just wearing a warm cardigan and skinny jeans.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. I saw it was like -5. Here it's 32 today. So I don't want to make you jealous or anything. But yeah, you know, Edgy, just getting back to the discussion with Liz, you know, that Liz had with Sean, it's quite interesting how the DTI and government has allocated everything to be done locally, which is amazing. Mm. And it's so nice to hear that, you know, the South African government does not have the most positive light on them at most times. So it's good to hear something positive, you know, that they are participating, that, you know, the Labor Department is even involved right through to getting allowances for the industry. So that's really great. You know, Edu, I know you've also actually one of our special guests today. So yes, I don't want to steal all your shine, and I want you to sort of give us your thoughts and what's happening on your side of the world.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's so nice to have Sean open this conversation up, because I mean, being having an operation on the ground in Africa, you know, you get to see the amount of or the level of the progress, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, he showed a lot of growth, a lot of understanding, and a lot of the thinking in terms of making sure that your people are multitasking. And, you know, like the equipment is good.
And also the fact that, you know, that it's not about just being a machinist anymore. It's really about developing people to become your production manager, you know, and sort of branching out into that sense of the fashion world, you know. So it's not about just being someone operating a sewing machine anymore, you know, which is really amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like being able to understand the reason for what you're making something, you know.
Yes.
Understanding fashion, that it's going to be competing on the street. And I think on that level, Africa is on par. I mean, yeah, we may not have all the industries, I mean, and enough factories or manufacturers, we may not have, but that understanding of you know, of the need to be savvy in fashion, or just to understand why it is important that quality is right and all the operations are streamlined. I think that is good.
Yes. Know,
that's very good. On that level, I think on that idea, on that desire, we are very much on par. The only thing is, you know, because the industry is growing in Africa, it's probably still like in its sunrise, so to say.
Yes.
There are all these things that you actually see, the obvious things that you see, the infrastructure, the factory, the machine, the sewers and the cutters. You see all of those things. But then there are the intangibles that really enhance what they do, you know?
Yes.
And those are the things that nobody gets to see, you know? So manufacturing is a lot of things, meaning like understanding it does have its own trends, you know, it has what's going on its own. So just seeing how African manufacturers can compete or can be on par with what's going on outside, maybe their exposure to technologies in terms of, so like in China sometimes, you can, I mean, you can make a t-shirt, you can make like 5,000-6,000 t-shirts in a short time because you can tube them, you know?
Yes.
Instead of cutting them flat, they come in a tube, you know? That's on the machinery end, on the technology end, you know? And then trends, manufacturers have to understand trends in fabrics, you know, trends in textiles, because different machines are needed to handle different textiles, you know?
Yes.
So all of those things are like those things you can see those machineries, but the intangibles, like, you know, quality control, you know, the expectations of quality, and also the QC and there's quality control, and then the timelining, all of those things for us to be competitive on the global scene, Africa has to have those kinds of understandings, you know, very strong understandings in those areas.
If I think of, for instance, you know, locally manufactured things, the problem in Africa is that it becomes so costly for the consumer, you know, because there's only 1,000 pieces made, whereas if it had been made in China, for instance, there would be 10,000 pieces made. So, you know, I think that also affects, you know, the whole infrastructure of things quite a lot as well.
And, you know, to be honest with you, look at the growth initiative the U.S. has with Africa, which is AGOA. If for everything that is made in Africa that comes here, right, there's no customs duties, you know. So imagine the pool of that, like how attractive that is to a company like Old Navy or Gap. But because we do not have the facilities or the capacity to give them quantity, you know, to deliver quantity at quality levels that are acceptable, then it becomes so difficult for Africa to take advantage of that. But that's what I mean by those intangibles that people look for.
Yeah.
How do you achieve quality? And you achieve quality through a good quality control protocol, you know, all the checkpointing that goes on. So when you order a product, you don't just get the product, you know, you get the beginnings of that product until you get the final product. So you get samples all the way. So you get like, okay, let's say you order a garment. We would give you here by protocol, we would give you a fit sample, which could be a muslin, meaning it's just a fabric that is close to what you actually are going to have the garment in.
Yeah.
And then you fit that, and then we give you a pre-production, which is in the fabric that you want.
Yeah.
And then you fit that too. And then you get a TOP sample, which is a top of production, meaning we finish your production. This is your TOP. It's packaged. It's everything the way you want it. It's got its UPC codes. It's got everything. All the supply chain needs on it are on it. And then that is delivered to you to check that your store, when it gets that product, is the way that you have wanted it, the way you want in terms of quality and packaging. So those are all the intangibles, you know, that people don't see, but they enhance the factory worker, they enhance the quality that comes out of the factory. You know, those are areas where Africa needs improvements, where Africa has to catch up, because we just don't have a lot of those protocols in place.
No, 100%. And
also, you know, there is delivery, there is timelining and logistics and all this other. It's not just to make the clothes, you know, you've got to figure out how they are traveling to the buyer, you know, the timelines for travel, the logistics of shipping them. There's so many ancillary things that you have to be able to do as a clothing manufacturer.
You know, and with CNR Branding Solutions, you know, and with what Sean is doing, their main sort of market is obviously the corporate wear, which, mm-hmm. you know, I do feel that there is a huge gap for, because if I look at friends of mine that are, for instance, in the corporate industry, you know, you still want to be fashionable. You don't want to be in just that black suit or just that black whatever, you know. It still needs to be fashionable. So I think, like, also with, you know, manufacturing, that kind of thing, are there trend analysts involved, like, that actually, you know, look at trends and say, okay, you know, this season we're doing a pencil leg, you know, trouser compared to a bell bottom trouser?
I think, you know, as a manufacturer, it's just like Sean was talking about multitasking and being the sewers being able to multitask. As a manufacturer, unless you're very unique to a product, you're mostly going to be very very versatile in the things that you can produce. So, and most collections anyway do have corporate angles to them, you know?
Yes.
So maybe a company like Ann Taylor might be like more relatively corporate in terms of the pieces that they make. But a lot of the other companies are going to mix and match. You know, they're going to have a hot bunch of products from ranging from evening to day and to corporate. So you have to have that versatility to be able to do everything. And so trend-wise, you're going with the season, but you're supposed to be pretty open to trends. The most important trend to a manufacturer, a fashion manufacturer, would be trends in technology, trends and trends in fabrication, trends in textiles that would change the technology that you use. That's a very important area to be. And then, you know, the certifications. In the U.S., there are certain certifications that are needed, certain standards that are needed, especially like if you're making children's clothes, you know?
Yes.
So those are the areas where you need to be able to be on trend with what's happening, what the tests
are. And that's the thing, quite an interesting thing, Edgy, is obviously, you know, with Sean, you know, what he's doing and CNR branding is, everything is sort of controlled, you know, with the government, with, you know, with the labor law, everything. But if you look at, I mean, I know of some manufacturing sort of warehouses, if you could call it that, within Johannesburg, where the sort of manufacturers or the sewers, if you could say that, the pattern cutters mm-hmm. are actually being exposed. Like they, you know, the work conditions are really bad. The hours are really long. You know, so I think in the US that is also more controlled than over here. You know, I don't know. Is it more controlled?
Yeah, for us, you know, in the US, one thing you have to understand, because a lot of the manufacturing in the US is outsourced. Like it's so my factory is in Shanghai.
Yeah.
But the US has very good controls how that thing in China comes here. And these controls are done alongside with China. I cannot ship anything out of China to my customer without it having passed testings in China, meaning inspections for general clothes, and then testings for kids' clothes. They cannot ship, you know. So those standards, they do keep you on your toes, you know.
Yes.
And that's where Africa needs to be. We need protocols. We definitely need manufacturing
100%.
Protocols.
Yes, 100%. So, Edgy, I'm sure, I mean, most of the listeners know that you provide manufacturing services to some of the biggest fashion brands, you know, and houses globally. I just want you to sort of share with the listeners what brands you're currently working on, and are there any challenges that you're currently facing within the manufacturing field?
Well, we do such a wide array of brands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we deliver to stores like Nordstrom's, Macy's, and Harrods in London. And we do, you know, collections for designers like Germany. We do, in the U.S., we do Bibu, we do Bill Blass, we do Kate Spade, we've done Vera Wang. So from season to season,
and the list goes on and on and on.
season to season, the actors change, but the play remains the same. The challenges are mostly, so a manufacturer has a few core challenges.
Yeah.
One of those is the unspoken thing, which should never be asked for, is quality. The customer should never have to ask for quality.
Yes.
That is something it's a given.
Yes.
And then there's delivery. You know, delivery is such, so that's one of the challenges, just not quality, because quality is a given, quality actually across the world, that curve.
Yes.
It's almost straight. Everybody across the world, expectations of quality are the same, and the more by and large, manufacturers across the world are very good. Have become really good at quality. So you're not worrying too much about that part. You're worrying about the other nuances, the delivery, you know, the packaging of the items. The delivery of the items is very, very important. Understanding the logistics of delivery. So for us, those are where we have some problems sometimes. Like in China, we have a lot of holidays in China.
Yes.
And if a product delivery, if a delivery is going to coincide with a holiday, you have to know that if you're shipping the goods 5 days before the holiday, your chances of getting on a flight or on a boat are almost zero.
Yes.
So it's just understanding all of those nuances in the place where you're manufacturing, it's important.
Yeah.
But those things are important when you have protocols. When you don't have protocols, yes. Nobody cares.
No one cares. And yes. It goes on. Yes. So, AJ, I'm going to cut you short there. We're going to chat now in a bit. I just want to carry on and, you know, sort of to a more lighter topic and glam everyone up for a few seconds. So,
yes.
I'm going to get into lipstick color of the week, but I must just share with everyone first that there's the Gindi Tel Aviv Fashion Week currently going on. And I've been a little bit obsessed. So it's the fifth year that they're doing it. And a jewelry designer, Karen Wolf, has actually designed the most unique piece. So instead of a lipstick color this week, I'm actually going to talk about the lip piece that's on the runway. So it's almost like, you know, a few years ago they had the grill, you know, in your mouth. So it was the whole rapper sort of style with a grill in your mouth. Madonna wore it. Nicki Minaj, you know, did a few things with it. So this is sort of like a rimmed grid on the outside of your lip, so it frames your mouth. It is the most beautiful piece of jewelry, and the show was actually done in wedding gowns with this beautiful sort of lip guard or brace on, if you want to call it that. So that's my lipstick color of the week. I totally need one of these. It's so beautiful. I'm going to be posting a picture of it shortly. And then also Sarah Britton, I'm sure for those who are lipstick fans such as myself have heard about this before, but she's created a niche for herself in the art world by using a unique medium, and that's actually lipstick to create her pieces. It has increased the number of tubes she buys, obviously, compared to, you know, myself, Edgy. I'm not going to put you in the lipstick buying seat, but, it's a
thank you.
And, the colors are just so beautiful. So once again, I will post that up, you know, and I was going to talk about manufacturing of makeup specifically in Africa, but I had a really, really bad experience in a store on Sunday. So I thought, you know what, and it's been bugging me all week, and I've just been like, I need to talk about customer service. Like, I can't deal with it, you know. So, and I'm actually going to mention the store because I was really, really upset about it. I had friends with me from the UK, so it was a bit of a horrible situation as well. So it was the Woolworths in Rosebank Mall in Johannesburg. And I was, you know, obviously I work closely with Smashbox. So I was showing my friend a whole lot of Smashbox products and everything. And, you know, we moved over to sort of the other makeup counters and had a look. And the beauty consultant, well, the friendliest lady I've ever met in my life, let me tell you that, so rude. The body language, the attitude, everything. And, you know, for me, you know, Edgy, you've been in retail. I've been in retail. I've been behind a Mac counter. We know how these things go. And it was just, I was actually so horrified that I'm literally asking her about a product and the attitude, like, she's doing me a favor. And I'm like, no, honey, let's not go there. Then the manager got involved and it was just, it was such a disaster. But anyway, so I really just want to put some light out there to the women, you know, and it's intimidating going into a retail cosmetic store because, you know, especially the MAC girls, they look like they're, I don't know coming from where, but it can be intimidating. So I just want to give the ladies out there a sort of go-to guide of how to approach, the stores and the service. So As we know, you know, the face of a brand says a lot about the company. And when we say the face of the brand, it's obviously the consultants. So I always say that instead of, so I don't know how the retail stores work over there, Edgy, but here you've basically, so within a Woolworths, for example, you've got a certain amount of beauty consultants and they're allocated to specific brands, if I could say that. So they're not actually employed by the brand, which I feel is really, it's sad because, you know, that consultant, she has, say, 10 brands under her. Come on, let's be realistic. She's not going to be able to get, you know, to give each brand the same attention that it needs, you know?
Yes.
So at the end of the day, like, it's actually sort of, you know, distorting the brand in a way. So, you know, I might be, you know, who's to say that there might not be 10 clients at each brand at the same time? Then what? You know, then it's, oh, the customer service is bad. No, it's because there's not enough consultants, you know, to look after. So I posted on my Facebook asking women, you know, that, you know, it's all rather telling them that I've been doing some research, and it's scary that 3 out of 5 women in the world have had a bad experience at a cosmetics counter. That is scary. Like, that is disgusting.
Yeah.
So
in the US, it's more specialized.
Exactly.
Like they all have. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going into like a Sephora, for instance, each brand has their dedicated consultant. It's that one-on-one beautiful attention. You know, it's really sort of concentrated. So getting back to the how-to, firstly, ladies, please pack in a packet of wet wipes because at the cosmetics counter, I find you testing stuff on your hand and you know what? They never have wet wipes. So number one is wet wipes and tissues. Then what ladies commented on my Facebook is the actual foundation testing. So to test the foundation, take a tester jar with you. So I've had that before in a store where I've asked, can I have a test of this? Oh, sorry, we don't have tester containers. Oh, well, you know what? I've got my own. So, you know, then there's really no excuse. So, and actually get a tester of the foundation color. And if it gets to the point where you cannot get a tester, take your own foundation brush. I mean, most women, you know, we carry our makeup bags with us. Apply it with your foundation brush and actually wear the foundation for a day. The lighting is different in a store. So what I mean by the lighting is there's LED lighting in a store and it's referred to as white light. So it's very different to the yellow natural light. So you're going to look different when you go outside. So number one would be obviously to wear the foundation for a day and then you've got your little tester for the next day, you know, if you want to try it again before purchasing. Listen, a foundation here can be, you know, from anything to 400 to 2000 rand. So you want to be making sure that you're buying the right one, you know. And then also undertones. Know what your undertones are. So it's the same with clothing. You're not going to buy a yellow dress if you know that yellow is not your color, you know. So know what your undertone is. Do you have a more yellow undertone, a more orange undertone, or a more pink undertone? And then you can probably teach the consultant a thing or two, you know. And also things like primers, that kind of thing. I always say that if you're researching yourself, no one can tell you any difference. So if you're going to a retail store, you know, at the cosmetics counter, you know exactly what you want. You know what primer you want. Who's going to tell you any different, you know? So also do your research. And then most importantly, before we even get to the lipsticks and the eyeshadows and all of that, that for me, I think is a personal thing. So, you know, I always get clients asking me, does a red lipstick suit me? Well, you know what, if you feel comfortable wearing a red lipstick, yes, then it's going to suit you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, get a skin analysis done. So I know there's brands like your Dermalogica's, there's Kells within an Edgar's store, I think they are in South Africa and in Africa actually, who actually provide free skin analysis sessions. So you can then determine, okay, I've got a dry skin type, I need a, you know, more of a creamy textured foundation, and then you can go out to the store and actually, you know, go for your foundation. So I just wanted to share that I also had a very bad experience. And then if worst comes to worst, just contact me and I'll go shopping with you. So to all the ladies out there, please don't contact me all at once. I might be a bit overwhelmed. But for those who'd like to follow me on all social media platforms, you can follow me at Moragstein. That's MoragSteyn. And Edgy, we're going to our favorite part of the show. who we want to dress and why. So I'm going to let Liz start that one off for us.
Today I want to dress Anna Wintour, and I really want to put her in a ponytail, kill the bangs, put her in some high heels and a Lizzo Gumba trench dress from the denim collection, just to bring out the girl in her. That's what I need. That's what I want to do. So who would you want to dress and why?
I would want to dress my business partner, because he needs to get with the trends. And he needs to step off the arc.
And who's the business partner?
Costa Condola.
Guys, okay. This is us, and we hope that you have a lovely, lovely day.
Thank you so much, Liz and Sean. He needs to get with it, Edgy. So I need to hear if you're with it today. Can we hear what you are wearing or who you want to dress?
Who I want to dress today?
Yes.
Well, I was going to take a double shot at you and Liz today.
You're not allowed to.
Seriously. No. I'm thinking, you know how I send you guys all these little pictures of chunky shoes and you guys don't want it?
Yes.
Liz says no chunkies. So today I was just going to force you two into some amazing chunky heel shoes, you know, chunky heel.
I would wear them.
Booties.
It's like those Kim K, you know, the transparent Kim K shoes from the Yeezy collection.
Mm-hmm.
I totally need to get myself a pair of those. I think they're just so cute. So, so cute.
Yeah, chunkies are huge over here.
Yeah.
They're just insane. Yeah. So, who are you going to dress?
I want to dress Netta.
Why?
Okay, so her name is Netta Taziki, and she is the MAC senior artist for Israel, actually. And she's the makeup artist who created the beautiful look, you know, with the lip that I spoke about earlier on the show. So I would like to dress her.
Oh, nice. Cool. Nice.
Thank you so much, Edgy. It was so wonderful to have you on the show. And Liz, I'm sure she's having a wonderful time. And Sean, also great to have you and CNR Branding Solutions on the show. We're over and out. Follow us on social media at Fashion Lab AF on Twitter, Fashion Lab Africa on Facebook, and Fashion Lab Africa on Instagram. Thank you and God bless. Till next week. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.